This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, we are almost there. The end of the week is in sight, and oh my goodness, it's so beautiful. It's like an oasis in the desert, only it's not a mirage. It's a real oasis. What, Chris? And of course, that oasis is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. That's tomorrow. We'll get to that in a little bit. Yes, we're going to talk tariffs. I know you have questions. I have Carol Roth actually joining us to clarify some of her thoughts on it. People are pro-tariffs. They're against tariffs, all these other things. Can companies actually move away from making communist filth, from doing commie things? We'll discuss that. 50% of the job cuts are federal worker jobs. That's awesome. Democrats continue to commit party suicide. All that and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And yes, of course, I already mentioned it. Tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Ask me anything. Get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, let's talk. I know every single headline has been about tariffs today. I know, even though I haven't watched anything or listened to anything, I'd be willing to bet everything you've heard is, oh my gosh, these tariffs, this is the greatest thing ever. We've got to do this. We've got to save America. Or, oh, these tariffs are the worst thing ever. We're all going to die. I know what you've seen all day long. Trump's out there saying this stuff.
From this day on, we're not going to let anyone tell us that American workers and families cannot have the future that they deserve. We're going to produce the cars and ships, chips, airplanes, minerals, and medicines that we need right here in America. The pharmaceutical companies are going to become roaring back. They're coming roaring back. They're all coming back to our country, because if they don't, they got a big tax to pay. And if they do, I'll be very happy. And you're going to be very happy, and you're going to be very safe. We're going to build our future with American hands, with American heart, American steel, and we're going to build it with American pride like we used to.
Okay. He said this.
In the coming days, there will be complaints from the globalists and the outsourcers and special interests and the fake news. Always, the fake news will always complain. But never forget, every prediction our opponents made about trade for the last 30 years has been proven totally wrong. They were wrong about NAFTA. They were wrong about China. They were wrong about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which would have been a disaster if I didn't terminate it. If I didn't terminate that, United Auto Workers, you would have had no jobs in this country. You would have had no jobs. It was all going to other countries.
Okay, so I'm going to say maybe the most controversial thing I've ever said on the radio, and I know that's saying something because it's me, and apparently I offend people all the time on a daily basis. So here it is. You know what I think about these tariffs that Trump just put down? I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion. And allow me to elaborate a little bit more. Here is the situation. Let's say we have a small village, our 100-person village. We have a small village. And over the last 50 years, we've watched our small 100-person village in the middle of Africa. We've watched it really fall into a state of disrepair. My dad, and his dad before him, they raised cattle. Now, all the cattle are gone.
The fences are broken down. In fact, the family business had to shutter. Now we've moved on to do other things. The buildings aren't as shiny and nice in our little village. The sheds are falling down. It's noticeably worse in our village than it was 50 years ago. So somebody comes up with this proposal. Hey, I have an idea. Let's only elect left-handed people to run the village and see if they can turn things around. Now, pause for a moment. It's perfectly legitimate if you're part of that village to question the sanity of electing only left-handed people. You have every single right to say, well, wait a minute, how does that solve anything? I know things are bad, but that doesn't seem like it's an actual solution to the problem. I don't know. That is perfectly within your rights. If you're sitting there today saying, I'm uncomfortable with the tariffs, I don't know where we're going to go here, I don't want my life to be more expensive, I don't like this, that is a perfectly reasonable argument to have. Good for you. Have your opinion. Also, it is a perfectly reasonable argument to make that, well, whatever we've been doing in the village wasn't working before. The village used to be this. We used to have a cattle industry. Now we don't have that anymore. Now the buildings are falling down. Something has to change. That is a perfectly reasonable argument in favor of tariffs. If you are one of these people who says, I grew up in West Virginia. I grew up in Weirton. I grew up in the steel mill that used to be there that kept the town alive. You either worked directly for the steel mill or you worked for one of the companies that was adjacent to the steel mill. The little diner right by the steel mill, that's where everyone ate. The steel mill closed, the diner's gone. The local school, we used to have a good school. Now that the steel mill's gone, the tax dollars aren't coming into the community. The school sucks. It's a disaster. It's perfectly reasonable, if you've watched that happen, to Weirton, West Virginia, to step up and say, this isn't good. And what happened here is bad. And we need to go back to a time where we had a plant in this town where you could get a good job with a high school diploma, a job that would provide for you and your family and your children after you. That is perfectly reasonable to want something like that. It is reasonable. Whatever your argument is, it is reasonable. Here are two arguments that don't wash at all. The first argument is this. Well, it's not a problem. That's something the laptop class says. That's something people who do finance for a living say. Well, I don't care about the steel mill. Whatever. What's the big deal? I grew up in the Rust Belt. We are Rust Belt construction people. It may not be a big deal in Manhattan. It's a big deal there. And it affects lives. It destroys lives. And look, even if you don't have an ounce of empathy for the communities that have turned into Rust Belt drugged out communities, and yes, the drugs are so pervasive now because poverty and everything, it's just a disaster. Even if you don't have any sympathy for them, well, they need to get better jobs. Even if that's the way you're putting it, for purely national security reasons, it's a big deal that we don't make things here anymore. It's a big deal that our mortal enemy, China, remember, China, they're not shy about the competitive nature of our relationship. China publishes papers publicly that say, hey, we intend to supplant America as number one in the world. We intend to be the number one global power. China has published this. They are honest about this. And we've looked across the Pacific Ocean at that country that feels that way about us, and we sent them all of our manufacturing jobs? They make all of our pharmaceutical stuff? That's not good. It's not good. So you cannot look at these rusted out towns where we used to make things and provide great jobs and say, no big deal. That doesn't wash with me. And on the flip side of that, what you can't do What a ridiculous argument is, well, this is just because we don't have tariffs enough. That's not true at all. You can argue tariffs will help. That's, again, very reasonable argument to make. Tariffs will help bring them back. But the lack of tariffs is far from being the only reason Weirton, West Virginia isn't what Weirton, West Virginia used to be. See, there are a lot of good arguments to make on both sides of this. And the truth is, we won't know. You won't know, and I won't know for quite some time. One day, one dip in the stock market, that doesn't mean anything in the long term. And I'm not saying it's meaningless, but one day, we don't know. The global markets are going to react negatively to change. Will this work? I don't know. Trump's presidency probably rests on it as far as how he's thought of. If this drives the economy into the side of a mountain, it's not going to be good. If it does revitalize our manufacturing sector, it will. And nobody knows. Now, we have a huge show. I'm going to do a bunch of emails. I'm going to stop talking about this, but we will. Look, let's just address France real quick. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Thursday. Just talking a little bit of tariffs here. I'm going to talk about as it pertains to Europe and the rest of the world here in just a moment. I did get this email, so I'm about to ease your mind on something. This guy says, Jesse, I'm interested in what Carol Roth was saying in your second segment on April 2nd's I'm Right. It confused me more. I'll listen again. But our country's not ripping us off. Okay. Carol Roth, she always comes on the show. Whenever she does come on the show, she talks economics with us. I had Carol on my TV show yesterday. I got a bunch of emails about the things Carol was saying. And I sat down and thought to myself before the show, I thought, well, I need to elaborate on what Carol was saying. And then I thought, well, that's stupid. Why don't just get Carol to elaborate on what Carol was saying? So Carol Roth is going to join us in 10 minutes from now. She has many, many, many thoughts on these tariffs. She obviously is quite educated on the economy and how things work. We'll hear what Carol has to say. I don't need to interpret it for you. Carol is going to come interpret it for herself. Although I guess that wouldn't be interpreting it. I went to community college. Either way. Macron, French President Emmanuel Macron, he's upset about the tariffs coming down. In fact, virtually the entire European Union is. Macron called the tariffs, and I quote, brutal and unfounded. He called for a suspension of investment in the United States of America. Quote, what would be the message if big European actors invest billions of euros in the U.S. economy and at the very moment they're hitting us? So here's what I find funny about this. This is actually not going to be about tariffs. Here's what I find funny. It seems like, pause. I'll go. I'm gonna switch stories here. It's the same story. I'll come back to it. I had a buddy. I say I had because I haven't talked to him in 10 years. He was more of a childhood friend, but I had a buddy, and he was half Mexican. Dad was white, mom was Mexican, and he loved, absolutely adored jokes about Mexicans. You know, funny racist jokes about Mexicans. He loved them. It was his favorite thing in the world. And he was a cowboy. His family, they were cowboys. They were all cowboys. He also loved, absolutely loved, going to Mexican cookouts, hanging out with his mom's family, gigantic Mexican events. And we used to joke with him. I remember we were joking with him hard one time because he said some racist joke about Mexicans. And we said to him, you know, it really seems like you're only Mexican when it's convenient. When you want to tell a good Mexican joke, you're white when it's convenient and you're Mexican when it's convenient. And he got the biggest smile on his face. And he's like, yeah, that's pretty much true. You swoop in and out of being a Mexican, right? Sometimes you're Mexican and sometimes you're white. Does it occur to you that Europe seems to do this with their nationality and patriotism all the time? They're always, well, no, this is for France. This is for Germany. This is what's best for Germans. But when it comes to the United States of America, we get quotes like this from Macron. Quote, well, what would be the message if European actors? You're French. Do you speak for all of Europe now? I feel like the Europeans, they tend to act like Europe is one country when it's convenient. And when it's not, they dump that whole thing. Well, this is all about us here in Belgium. That's one. Two, my actual point on all this is it does feel like we are changing our relationships with the entire planet. And a lot of people, really myself included, would say it's time. It's time. For a long time, really since World War II, our relationship with Europe has been, we protect you. That's been our relationship. And I'm not actually dismissive of the European economic situation. I realize we are trading partners with them and there's all kinds of collaboration. I'm not naive. I understand we collaborate on this and we have this military base here. And I get that there's some collaboration, but the basic understanding has been since World War II, remember, we helped rebuild Europe hugely. We helped rebuild Europe. The United States of America, our military, our might, we will guard Europe. And it's not that we get nothing in return, but we don't get that much. And all of Europe, because this has been, what, 80 years? All of Europe has been understandably conditioned to this. No different than people on welfare, how hard it is to get people off of welfare. Once you get used to getting paid for not working, once that gets into your bones, it's hard to make adjustments. You know, we have families. I had talked to a buddy one time about a bad neighborhood here in Houston. He said, you realize there are families here, they're on their fourth generation of never having a job. Mom never had one, dad never had one, grandpa never had one, just fourth generation, you don't get a job. You go get welfare. Europe has been on America's welfare for a long time. They've understandably gotten very, very used to it. They want that to continue. And so when anybody threatens to take them off, it sounds, what did he say? Brutal and unfounded. Anyway, I just found that entertaining. Let's talk to Carol Roth, see what she thinks about all these things. She has many thoughts before we get to Carol, and then we'll move on. We'll do emails and other stuff. I'm going to talk to you about hiring. I know how hard it is to find a good employee. I have two people who I work with here in the studio, both of them totally mediocre. That's why ZipRecruiter exists. So you don't need a Chris. You don't need a Corey. You need somebody decent. ZipRecruiter has something called Zip Intro. You'll get a quick video conference, back-to-back video calls, I should say, with potential candidates. So, honestly, if you ever met Chris, even by video, and it would take you 30 seconds to completely dismiss him as a prospective employee, saving yourself the headache that I go through every day. And did you know you try Zip Intro for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse? ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse, Zip Intro. It essentially lets you speed date employees. Don't make the mistake I made. All right, Carol Roth, next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Gosh, that makes me go back to my childhood. Joining me now, as promised, is the great Carol Roth. Obviously, I don't even really have to introduce her on this show anymore. She knows about the economy. She writes amazing books. Also, she, I'm about to yell at her about this, is giving out a free economic newsletter at carolroth.com/news. Carol, what kind of a person gives out a free newsletter? Charge people for that.
Oh, they'll pay for it eventually, Jesse. In some way, shape, or form, they'll pay for it. It doesn't always have to be up front.
Okay. All right, fine. Carol, okay, so every single Tom, Dick, and Harry
has a lot of very, very strong opinions about tariffs today because people, they have a version in their mind of how an economy should run. Walk us through the dangers, the benefits, if you know them. What's the Carol Roth theory on what's happening right now? The floor is yours.
Yeah, so instead of a new global economic order, we got new global economic chaos. Welcome to 2025. I think the challenge with talking about tariffs is talking about them vis-a-vis the background that we have, right? Because nothing happens in a vacuum. It all happens in context. And if you think about coming out of the Biden administration, where people were truly decimated, their personal balance sheets were decimated, we went through this crazy inflation, amongst other issues with the border and whatnot, that people were looking to Trump to stabilize things. They were looking at him to stabilize prices, to provide certainty, to create that optimism, to create deregulation, to create incentives, to create, make the tax cuts permanent, all of those things to spur growth in a very clear, dynamic way. And so I think that part of the reason why people are so upset is that, you know, they were hoping that maybe that would happen first and we would be able to see some of that growth before we start, you know, putting things on that are frankly disincentives. You know, a tariff is a tax, it's a disincentive. So they were hoping things would go in a different direction. I think the other issue is that many people were hoping his approach would be more surgical, because I think most of us could agree that there are certain areas that we have to have locked and loaded in the United States, areas that pertain to defense manufacturing and critical components of the supply chain of pharmaceuticals that it makes sense to have in the United States. Now, to the extent we don't have them already, that is not going to spring up overnight, and so we need some sort of a transition plan. And when we have a situation where we just have broad-based tariffs, that are introduced, you know, yesterday as reciprocal, even though that's not what the math actually worked out to be, that is done without thought to what that means for small business owners and others that, you know, don't have the runway to look out 5 or 10 years on a manufacturing plan. I think that's the frustration. It's feeling very chaotic, and it could have been done in a better way with better choreography and better communication to achieve the objective. So it's not so much that anybody's rooting against what President Trump is doing. It's how this has come into effect, so to speak.
Okay, so if you understand it, because I do not, can you explain why the lack of reciprocal tariffs? Because obviously that's something Trump is hot on. He's been hot on this since long before he was a politician. He's been talking about that for 30 years, and he's been talking about it since he got elected president. We're going to mirror your tariff. We're going to mirror your tariff. And then we got that form yesterday, and we're not mirroring. That's a hard word, actually. We're not doing the same tariffs they're doing for the most part. Why?
Yeah, I mean, that is the multi-billion, maybe trillion-dollar question. I think if it had come out, and kind of, I think my expectation was that Howard Lutnick, in having, you know, a month or however long time, was going to come back and go, okay, for Japan, they charge us 700% on rice, so we're going to charge them 700% on rice. You know, a real eye-for-eye situation. That didn't happen. It wasn't that, you know, Japan overall charges us X percent, and so we're going to charge them X percent. That didn't happen. They came up with some crazy calculation that was the trade imbalance divided by imports, and then they took 50% of that as a reciprocal tariff, which in no way, shape, or form in any economic sphere does that even make any sense, let alone meet the definition of reciprocal. And it also had a 10% floor. So even if you weren't charging us tariffs, you were getting 10%. Or if we had a trade surplus with you, then even if you were charging us a lot more, you got charged the 10%. So that's another thing. It doesn't instill a lot of confidence in this particular tactic when you go back to what's being said and you try to do the math. And I think it goes back to, you know, some of the issues with the communication and the conflicts. You know, you hear people saying, well, the tariffs are going to make us wealthy, but we're just looking for parity. Well, you can't have both of those. Oh, they're going to make us wealthy, but we're bringing manufacturing back from the United States so that we're not buying things abroad. Well, again, those two things are in conflict. We need a weaker dollar, but tariffs over time typically will strengthen the dollar. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So, unfortunately, the things that are being said, whether they're art of the deal or not, are in conflict, and people are really focused on this because they don't understand it and they want to understand it, and it's just not adding up. The math is not mathing.
Okay, so let's talk about the market, because as you have educated us before, as I've said many times on the radio show, I'm sure I stole it from you, the economy is not the stock market, right? I mean, the stock market's part of it, but it's not the only thing that matters. The stock market wasn't thrilled today, but stock markets go up, stock markets go down. What has them so upset specifically about it?
So I think there were a couple things. The stock market was definitely overvalued. And when we got the first round of tariffs, it was really looking for any excuse to kind of come into some sort of a correction. So we had that. And then the market was sort of optimistic that Trump would come up with something that was more measured and more surgical, like we spoke of, and that where the math made sense and the rationale made sense. And yesterday, what happened to companies all across the board is that companies who have been trying to decouple from China, because we've said we have to stop with our dependence on China, and have moved their supply chains to Vietnam and to India and wherever else, have now been told, oh, by the way, you're going to pay a 43% tariff on whatever it is you're making. So whether it's Nike or Restoration Hardware, who was actually having an earnings call in the middle of this announcement, and the CEO absolutely lost his mind because only 14% of what they make is made in America. These companies are realizing that it's just not tenable. And I know there are probably people listening to this and saying, well, we want manufacturing made in America, and I agree with you, but factories don't happen overnight. There's a lot of regulation. There are certain things, because of our regulatory environment and our cost of labor and our cost of energy, that we never can make in America. So instead of going out and making these decisions in a measured manner and allowing these companies to come up with strategy and plan, they've just been hit over the head, and nobody can react to that in a positive way. So the market is really reflecting that. It's also reflecting just a broader concern that this is going to create a recessionary environment for the same reasons we're talking about, and that's why you're seeing the flight to safety. You're seeing some of the investors go into treasury bonds, longer-term treasury bonds, go into things like gold and the like. So it's it's creating a lot of concerns, and it's not just Wall Street. It's also Main Street. It's also the amount of taxes that we collect. So, I know that there's not a lot of sympathy. Oh, okay, well, the market went down, boo-hoo, your 401k, but it flows through everything, and this is not good for the country to have this level of uncertainty and pessimism, because that becomes very self-fulfilling.
She is Carol Roth. She is as sharp as they come. CarolRoth.com/news. She's got a free newsletter. I'm going to talk to her about that off the air. Carol, I appreciate you as always. All right. Guess what held strong today? Precious metals. Who told you? Couple weeks now, I've been screaming at you to get a hold of Gold Co. because I know gold will hold its value forever. That's the beauty of precious metals. That's what Gold Co. is known forever. Forever. It's not subject to this president or this policy or this tariff or this tax. You know what countries are hoovering up now? Instead of buying our debt, they're buying gold. China's stacking it up like cordwood. Do what everyone else is doing right now and get some gold in your retirement. So if things continue to go bad, You'll be protected. If things go good, you'll still be fine. There's no risk. Gold Co. will help you. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. They're the ones you can trust. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions. Ask me anything. Doesn't even have to be political. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. They're already rolling in and stacking up. Let's clear some out here, shall we? Jesse, I just started out to listening to you. I heard one of your listeners was a January 6th guy. I was a January 6th guy. It's great to be out. I've lost everything. My dog, my belongings. Jesse, I did not step one foot in the Capitol. The FBI came to my door. Jesse, as a former Marine, I'm very disappointed in my country. I just wish I had my dog back. I screamed about the January 6th political protesters for a long time. Not Johnny come lately to this. They have always been on my heart for a few different reasons. Probably the main reason is I just have something against powerless people being smashed and bullied. I despise it. I despise evil governments. Evil secret police agencies. I despise them. And it's obvious to anybody paying attention, whether you think the government did January 6th, as in they organized it, or just simply took advantage of January 6th, it's obvious the communists inside of our government, inside of our Justice Department, used it as an excuse to hurt their political opponents. That's obviously what they did. And then they bragged about it while they did it. And they promised to do more of it. But all that, everything I just said, it misses the human element of it, doesn't it? I mean, it's statistics. It's a story. It's a headline. But here's a guy, didn't even step foot in the building. All he wants is his dog back. Had his life wrecked. FBI came to his house, wrecked his life. Man. Think if that's Fred, where that big fluffy moron would be. It hurts to think about that, doesn't it? And look, this guy lost his dog, and I'm not dismissive of that, but people lost loved ones, spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends, kids, families shattered, careers. You know, if you work for a big corporation or even a small one, really, they don't want to be associated with a political, a felon, something like that. So they dump you. Remember the guy yesterday, worked his butt off, wanted to be an EMT, can't get that job now. And these lives that are ruined are ruined. Meaning, it's not that they were ruined, and now that Trump got in there and pardoned everybody, everything's hunky-dory. Everything is not hunky-dory. What the communists did, in a million different ways, not just the January 6th people, is really, really sick and evil. It's really evil. And these are real people, real men and women who had their lives wrecked. And what drove me crazy, what drove me nuts, if you've listened to the show for a long time, you know I'm telling the truth about this, is for the longest time, nobody cared in American politics. There were very, very few people who spoke out and spoke up on behalf of the little people who were being smashed by the government, including on the right. Most of the right, 99% of the right, wouldn't say anything. Now, once Trump started running for office again, the January 6th people got real convenient to politic on, but it was real lonely in the January 6th wilderness there for about 2 years. And I just can't stand it, man. I can't stand it. Injustice like that gets to me to no end, which actually brings me to this story. Jesse, could you please bring up the awful story of Austin Metcalf? It happened right in Texas this week. I am a current public school employee. Please don't say my name. in case you haven't seen this story, I would recommend not looking it up. This took place in Frisco, Texas. And when I first moved to Texas, that's where I moved. I lived in Frisco, Texas. And it was a wonderful, very safe town. And a 17-year-old kid with a twin brother, 4.0 student, athlete, gets in a little verbal altercation at a track meet with some other kid who wasn't from their school, came and sat in their tent, and he said, "Hey, man, this isn't your area. You need to leave." And I don't know word for word what was said, but I know the other kid pulled out a knife, stabbed this 17-year-old boy in the throat, and his twin brother held him as he bled to death. I'll be honest, my wife brought up this story to me first thing this morning when I was waking up. She was up before me. And she came in and she was just greeting me, kissing me and good morning. And we were talking and things like that. And I actually had to apologize to her. I texted her not long before the show started. I texted her an apology because I actually snapped at her. She was talking to me about the story and it was so horrible. And all I could picture were my boys. You know, they go to track meets. My kids are in track. My kids could have, that could happen to anything, to any one of my boys or your girls or your boys. It hit me so hard, and it was first thing in the morning that I flat out told her, "I don't want to talk about this anymore." And I just got up and I walked away. Just flat out snapped at her. That's how heartbreaking I find this whole thing. And I can't make sense of it for you. It's awful. The only thing I'm going to say about this is say a prayer for the Metcalf family. They need prayer. Unimaginable sorrow and grief they're going through now. I lost my dad almost 6 months ago. I still grieve hard. It comes in waves. Some days I'm okay. Some days I don't even want to get out of bed. It's the way grief works, right? This is a 17-year-old boy with his whole life ahead of him. And by the sounds of things, he was going to be one of those people that really made the world better, not worse, and taken away by some animal. Prayer. That's what the family needs. That's all I'm going to say about this whole thing. The family needs prayer. It's a frightening world out there. All right. Well, that was heavy. Gosh, that was a heavy segment. It was too heavy, Chris. You know how heavy it was?
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
But Rough Greens isn't heavy. Rough Greens will ease your burden and lighten your load. You know how? You know why? Because taking your dog to the vet is freaking expensive. Or your cat. You know they have Meow Greens too. It's freaking expensive. And I don't want to sound like Chris here, but I like to save money. I know you like to save money. Rough Greens is a nutritional supplement, a healthy supplement with live vitamins and minerals, digestive enzymes. Does your dog have digestive problems ever? Fred used to all the time. Now he doesn't anymore. Digestive enzymes, probiotics. You want to try it? Just let your dog try it. You sprinkle it on your dog's food. You don't have to get new food or anything like that. Your dog will come alive and stay alive. Better energy, digestive system works better. His coat will look better. It's just, you can have a better dog and save money because you're not at the vet all the time. Or a better cat. Free jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right. Let's talk about the firing of federal workers. But more importantly, can companies get away from this communist stuff? Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.